So this next song I'm going to play is actually a tune that I wrote, and it's not on the record. It's because it's too new. I wrote it after the whole record was in the can. But this was a tune that I wrote around this time last year. This friend, my friend Grażyna Augustczyk, who's an amazing singer who's sort of based both in Chicago and Warsaw, she was curating this Chopin festival, and she asked me to do a solo concert. And I played a couple Chopin pieces and arrangements of them and improvising on them. And I was just digging into a lot of Chopin music at that time. And then I wrote this tune. And even though it's much more in that Brahmsian kind of emotional space than Chopin, I was just checking out a lot of romantic music and the pianistic textures and the way those guys move chords around and stuff. So this is a pretty new tune called Fields.
Thank you. That was gorgeous, man. Gorgeous.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're touring in support of the new album. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it? It's called Wherever You're Starting From.
Yeah.
And could you talk about the process, why you chose to do a solo album? And
yeah. So in 2009, I did a solo album, which was called 1,000 Words. And it was all improvised. And some of that came from some work I had done playing music at a couple different churches. And they would always need some music, like, we're going to take the offering, or can you play a prelude or whatever. And I got into just improvising and making stuff up, you know, and partly because I didn't always have stuff prepared. And people responded to that really positively. And so I made this record in 2009 that was very much born out of, you know, working on pieces like that for a few years. And then I didn't do a whole lot of solo playing for a few years there. And then I was getting back into it. I had a couple solo concerts that I put together or that people had approached me about. And I was just feeling like that my approach was not night and day from what I had done on that first record, but that it was different enough that maybe I had some new things to say. And so 2 years ago, I had put out this trio album called Islands, and I was feeling like I want to do something fairly different for my next thing. Like, I don't want to make, and that was the second like jazz group album I'd done in a row, and I was feeling like I should do something different instrumentation or different genre or something like that. And this solo thing just felt like, I don't know, I foolishly also thought maybe this will be kind of an easy thing to put together because a lot of it's going to be improvised and it's just me. And also a solo instrument recording, if you do it right, is not nearly as expensive as a group record. So I was like, oh, this will be really easy. Ha ha ha. And what I wasn't expecting actually was that it was a difficult album to make emotionally, and that surprised me. But I feel like I was in this phase where I had just gotten so used to playing my music with other people. And you know, when you're with other people in a social situation, even different people bring out different things in you, and the people you really connect with, they bring out the best in you, and you just kind of naturally are presenting your best self when you're around them. And I feel like musically it felt like that was happening. And then I took all that away and I was like, I was almost surprised by it. It's like, so this is me without anybody else around. And it's, you know, cause whoa, we're all kind of different people in different situations, whether we want to be or not. And, you know,
so was it scary, or were you excited about that? Were you disappointed?
It felt vulnerable. And I guess I was just expecting to make a different record than what I ended up with. Like, I played all this stuff and I remember being really confused in the studio about how I even felt about it, but I just was playing. And then when I was listening back, I was like, that isn't really the record I meant to make. And I was like, so maybe it's just I was in this weird phase and that's not really what I sound like. And then I was listening to it more. I was like, I think that is what I sound like. I think I'm really just putting my whole self into it. And then maybe I just play kind of differently when I'm by myself. And so I'm trying to say this in a way that makes it, that conveys that where I ended up with is positive, that I really like how the album turned out and I'm really proud of it. But I guess I had to ask myself this question of, you know, I want to put my whole self into what I'm doing. I really want to express myself in a honest and authentic way. But I think also as people, it's very normal to not like everything about yourself as a person. And maybe if you like everything about yourself all the time, then you have a different problem. because nobody's perfect. Everybody has issues and everybody has things they're working through. And everybody, even people who are really great, are striving to be better at what they do and to be better friends and more generous people and so forth and so on. So I guess I had to ask myself that question of, you know, I'm making a record. I want the music to be as good as possible. But at the same time, I want to really represent myself, and maybe I don't like everything about myself. And what does that mean then? So
you kind of had to accept like that actually is me, the good and right. The not so.
Yeah. And I guess it's not as much of a technical, like, oh, I played this note I didn't mean. It's sort of, mm-hmm. It sounds like a mistake. It was much more subjective and mm-hmm. emotional. But I think because it was my issues with it were more subjective and emotional, that's how I came to really like it in the end. It's not that, oh, there's a bunch of mistakes, but whatever, I'll leave it on there. It's more like I surprised myself in where I went sometimes, but after I lived with it for a while, I was like, you know what, I think this is the record that I need to make right now.
So do you feel like you uncovered some things that maybe you can continue to use?
I think so. I think I've at least gotten more comfortable with myself in the process.
Yeah, and this is all just your perspective.
Right.
Too,
yeah.
Right? I mean, and everyone else listens and they think,
they could
Rob
hear
Clearfield.
Yeah, exactly.
He's great.
And yeah, all these things are so magnified in your own head. Right. And I know, and I knew that throughout the process, but it doesn't change the fact that I'm feeling what I'm feeling, even if I have that degree of self-awareness of knowing how magnified it is. And it's doing more solo concerts now leading up to this release. It is a different, very different thing for me to be on stage by myself than with a group. Like when I'm playing with people, I feel like, one, I just know how I feel about the music all the time. Even if I'm not making any eye contact or whatever, whether it's going badly or going well, I know how I feel about it. And I know maybe what I want to do to keep it going in this positive direction or to like reverse it from this direction that I'm not really feeling or whatever. And also having that support of the people you're playing with, just we're in this together and we're making it happen together, is really cool. And I feel like when I'm on stage by myself, sometimes I think to myself, so how is this going? And unlike with other people where it's like the answer just comes back to me instantly.
Right.
When I'm by myself, I'm just like asking that question out into the abyss, and it just is going out there, you know?
Yeah.
And nothing is coming back. So I've had to make my peace with that and to accept, you know, I'm on my own and I'm gonna make this what it is.
Yeah.
And that I can't
be in the moment.
Yeah,
and
that I can't be super stressed out about all that stuff.
Right.
So that's been a process getting to that point. But as we're taping this, I'm in the middle of a solo tour. So I feel like I'm, you know, doing it a few nights in a row is definitely helping getting the game together.
Well, speaking of this new CD, wherever you're starting from, do you have something else you'd like to play from that?
Yeah, so I'm going to play a tune. This is the lone original composition on the album. I've mentioned there are 9 improvisations. And I talked about the 2 covers by John Coltrane and Brahms. And then there's one other tune. I wrote it and I hadn't really played it with other people. Didn't have an arrangement that I felt like worked with a group. And the tune, I've been joking about it in different interviews because the title is a little bit of a joke. It's called Blues in C. And I had this tune and I was titling some of the improvisations and I needed a title for this tune. And I was playing some of this stuff for my wife and we were brainstorming and I was like, I'm thinking about this title, but is that stupid? Is it cool? And then we got to this. I was like, this is a tune I wrote. I don't know what to call it. And it's like the tune's kind of out there harmonically, but it's technically it's a blues in C, but it's like not bluesy at all. It's like less bluesy than the Brahms piece on the record, basically. And then she was like, I don't know. I mean, she was partially joking, I think, and partially serious. And she said, you could call it blues in C. And part of me was like, yeah, that's really cool. And part of me was also like, I just need to write something down on this playlist so I stop getting confused about, like, you know, take four, session one, and all, you know, all that numbers running through.
Label it.
Yeah, so at least label it. And then, yeah, I was like, that's a good idea. I should just keep that title. So anyways, this is Blues in C.
That's a lot of fun. Now I think we all get the joke.
Yeah.
Blues in C.
Yeah, it's not like bluesy, but also it is a 12-bar blues in that it's, you know, for people who are students of music or whatever, it's like we've got this 12, you know, this 12-bar format. So like a standard blues, you know, you're like... on your one chord for four bars, and then when it comes to time, you know, up to the four chord and back down. And then there's a few things that can happen, but some kind of turnaround, you know, like, or maybe if it's more of a jazz thing, or something, you know, there's lots of different turnarounds that people do. But, and so anyways, I have this thing going. And that's the idea. And so I have that going for four bars. And then it goes up to a darker tonality. Darker meaning more flats as opposed to more sharps. So, and I'm doing stuff there. Back to the one. And then there's this turnaround that I do, which is, you know, very much in the same vein as everything else. And back to the one. And it's 12 bars. And I come up with the thing, the main riff. And I was taking it different places. And then by the time I had something that I liked, I realized I was really close to, it was just already really close to it being this 12 bar format. And it was like, well, let me just see what happens if I take it all the way there. And it actually kind of clicked where it gave it, you know, I mean, that's such a strong form that we're all really accustomed to the resolution of. And so that actually helped put it in a context where even though it doesn't sound like the blues, just the phrasing of it is in a familiar kind of context now. So it helped it click for me.
Well, the new album is called Wherever You're Starting From. And is this self-produced?
It's on a label called Wool Gathering Records, which is curated by my good friend Matt Ullery, who's a really great bassist and composer. And some of his music is on this label as well. And I've played on a lot of his records as well. He's great, and he released this album. I'm really excited to be working with him on it.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah.
Beautiful musician. And we can find this at your website?
Yeah, my website, robclearfield.com. And if you also type in woolgatheringrecords.com, it should link you straight to Matt's page where he has all the Wool Gathering stuff as well as all his own music. You can buy it directly from the label. It's on Bandcamp as well, and it's on many other platforms. But directly from the label and Bandcamp are really where it's at.
Yes, yes, indeed. So you've got this solo tour going on, and you've got a lot of other projects you're involved with. Could you just give us a sampling of other bands that you're playing in? Maybe we can find you in other formats?
Yeah. I continue to do some other playing of my own music in trios and quartets. So I've got some of that going, particularly in Chicago. I work a lot with Matt Ullery, as I mentioned, in his various projects. I'm also working quite a bit with a great trumpet player who's based in New York City named Itamar Borkov, and we're about to start work on a new record as well. So hopefully that'll be coming out later this year or maybe next year. Yeah, working with all kinds of folks I'm really excited about from Chicago and New York. Micaiah McCraven, Caroline Davis, Adam Larson, Russ Johnson, a lot of good folks making music, and thankfully I get to join in most of the time.
Yeah, those are all some fabulous musicians, and yeah, I love all those folks, all their music, and it's beautiful. It's fresh, you know, it's original, and everyone is really pushing the boundaries, and man, you're right there, and I'm so glad you're on the show. Thank you so much for making the time while you're here in town.
Thanks for having me. My pleasure.
Yeah, Rob Clearfield. I would love it if I could put you on the spot to play one last improvised piece.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm here.
All right, Rob Clearfield. All right.